I was looking on the internet a little while this afternoon, and I saw a note that was apparently not from a teacher. It was about one of our neighboring counties, and I don't know if any of you saw it or not, but it said this particular county were so quick to close schools that if somebody stepped outside and spit off the porch, they would call school off tomorrow. I don't believe that was a teacher that wrote that note. It was more likely someone who had some young children that they were going to have to figure out something to do with on the next day. But we have different outlooks on things, don't we, as we look at life and as we respond to life. And I am so thankful that we have the opportunity to look for a quarter at the concept of growing in knowledge. And I want to share a little bit of information the New Testament shares with us in regard to that. And there are many passages, many concepts about knowledge in the New Testament, but I've chosen 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11. I don't even remember when I memorized this passage, at least a part of it. I remember as a very young man, we had a class and we would memorize passages, and we would get to on Wednesday evenings, as we do our young men leading singing, I remember as a young man getting to stand up and quote a passage and have different young men do song leading and other things, but I remember standing and quoting these passages that we hear so very often. And yet, the impact of those passages in our lives ought to be so unthinkably powerful as we think about what knowledge means to us. Knowledge is power in a lot of ways, but the kind of knowledge this passage talks about is so unthinkably great. First of all, I think we need to understand that we are in dire need of knowledge. There's a tremendous need for knowledge in all of us. We have some highly, highly educated people in this room. Men and women that I respect unbelievably because of the study they've done, the knowledge that they have gained and possess, and their ability to use that knowledge is so very important. But the person in this room with the greatest amount of knowledge is still in dire need of knowledge. God designed us that way. He designed His will that way so that we will never get to the bottom of the well, as it were. And as we think about that, if we look in these verses, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, a passage that we think about over and over again, as we look at how complete God has granted us in terms, what a completeness God has granted us in terms of what we can know. His divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have it. Everything that we need to know about life, the way it ought to be lived, anything that we want to know about it that's going to be significant as we stand before God, He's granted that to us. What an unbelievable blessing. But as you read that, it is through the knowledge of Him that called us unto glory and virtue. How do we know those things? We come to know Jesus Christ, who calls us. He calls us as we listen to His word. He calls us through His special, precious glory and the excellence of what He is offering to us in the knowledge of Him. What a great blessing it is. And then 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He isn't saying that to those people who've not yet started to school or who may have only finished junior high or those that graduated from high school, but when you begin to get that knowledge that you might get in a higher education setting, God is not excluding any of us in that search for knowledge and that opportunity to grow. You grow. If you read that passage, it's talking to you. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For a few minutes tonight, let's think about what does it take to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, there are some special things here that we need to develop in our lives. These are the passages that I have known for many times these graces that we talked about. I've known, said them over and over again, preached about them, read them over and over again. They are so special as we think about the knowledge of God. Look at verse 5. It says, but also for this very reason. What reason do you suppose he's talking about? Well, if you read back in chapters 3 and 4, we're talking about this knowledge of what it takes to think about salvation and life and godliness that comes to us through the knowledge of the Lord who has called us in glory and virtue. And by those things that we learn about Jesus, we've been given many great and precious promises that through those promises we might be partakers of the divine nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Not possible for us to really comprehend the blessing that is ours that God is talking about. When we start thinking about this reason through the knowledge of Him who called, these great and precious promises by which if we listen to and we obey the message that God has given us pertaining to life and godliness, we're going to escape the corruption that is in the world. And when we do, we become partakers of His divine nature. One of the things that God did for us is to create each one of us in His own image. That's His design. We can become to a great degree like God. We'll never be God, but we can become a great deal like God. We can reflect His qualities. We can reflect characteristics that define God. We can never be good in the same way that God is good. We can never love in the way that God is love. We can never know in the way that God is omniscient and knows everything that there is to know. We can't be like that, but we can come to be like Him as great a degree as we choose in the human form to be good, to be knowledgeable. We can come to be like Him. We can be partakers of the divine nature of Jesus. It isn't that God does some good things in the way that we look at each other and we say, boy, that's a good person. We mean by that He does such good things. It is the very nature of God to be good. And we can develop that nature in ourselves to a great degree. We can be partakers of that divine nature, but it's hard work. There's nothing easy about Christianity. Oh, some things are easy. Some things are really neat. We get lots of pleasure out of some things, but there's a grind side to Christianity. Very difficult to stay in tune with sometimes. And this text tells us that we need some diligence. For this reason, giving all diligence, not just a little bit of your diligence, but all diligence. And it needs to be on our hearts, on our minds every day as we think about the diligence that it takes to think in the right way about this knowledge. How many of you, let me see your hand, how many of you could quote these graces? You could quote them. Raise your hand if you can. It's not embarrassing if you can't, but I know a lot of you can. You see, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. You may have a word or two different depending on the translation that you learn, but so many of you in this room have memorized that list of graces, as we call them. But what's really important is how much good does the knowledge of those graces do you? Is it something that you incorporate into a day-to-day life, every day, living these graces in your life? Because you see, if you do that, if you add those things, verse 8 says, if these things are yours and abound in you. When you stop and think about them, it's hard to think about some of these things just abounding, just overflowing in our everyday lives. But that's what God wants, and that's going to come as a result of us developing these things, knowing these things, practicing these things as we live life every day. If these graces abound in you, what a great blessing. You will not be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that our goal, at least for this quarter, a stated goal? We want to grow in knowledge. How do you do that? Well, here is one way. The Bible is going to tell you other ways that you can do that. But here is one fantastic way to help you in terms of knowledge. The knowledge of the Lord is going to produce fruit in your life. That's what we need. We want to be in a new building. We're looking forward to that. But what we really need and want in use of that building is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Add these graces to your lives and have fruit produced in our lives. We want to fill that building up because we're talking about souls that will never die. We want fruit to be produced in a number of ways in our lives, but bringing souls to the Lord needs to be one of the top priorities. We need that kind of fruit produced in our lives. So we need to develop these graces in our lives. And then I think the next thing we need to think about is demonstrate these graces in conjunction with each other. This word add, I was looking at that. It just seems simple. Add to your life. I want to add something to my life. I want to add a new restaurant. I just go to it. I want to add a new food. I just find it and eat it. I want to add something to my life. It seems so simple. And in many cases, it is simple. This word add is a very special word. Those of you that are musically inclined, it's a special word in some of the areas that you like to think about. It originally meant to found and support a chorus. You see, we have eight graces, and God is telling us that these graces need to be in our lives in the same way the singers in a group develop into quality voices and produce great music. You see, if we're singing off key, one of us are trying to sing one tune to the words and another, and we're not together, we aren't going to enjoy that very much, are we? In fact, it's going to be kind of unthinkable, particularly if we have someone who is the leader, who has great knowledge and who has great ability and who understands how to get people to harmonize. You see, I believe the Lord understands all of that. But you see, sometimes because we choose, the director has no control over those people in the group in terms of what they actually choose to do. Fortunately for the leader, they want to be trained. They want to be in harmony. They want to come in at the time that their particular part comes in. They want that harmony. God wants that for you and me with these graces. It needs to be a harmonious production of these things in our lives. Not just something that we memorize quite easily and quite quickly and stand in front of a group and repeat and think, what a good boy am I. God wants those things working in our lives in a harmonious way and in tune with each other. As we think about that, it has to be related to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about how I want to think about each one of these things. It's not about what I want my faith to be or what I think my faith ought to be. It's to put trust in what God has to say and develop my faith in harmony and in tune with God's will. And as I think about self-control, it's so easy for us to justify the things that we say sometimes and the things that we do because of what we want to point to that other people have done. You have no control over me. You may see me misbehave. You may hear me say words that I should not be saying. But that doesn't mean that you must say anything that's ungodly or do anything that's ungodly. You are in control of you. I am in control of me. And so what we want is to be in tune with this great conductor, Jesus the Christ, And as we have knowledge of him, we have such a great blessing. And each grace should temper and make the next one even more complete as we add to our faith excellence. You see, it's not one of those things that we would like to have Jesus say to us, as he said to his disciples on two occasions, "Oh, you of little faith," to point out how weak their faith was. We don't want that, do we? That's not what we want God thinking of us. We don't really want other people thinking that of us. We want that excellence that is pursued. Even though we might trust what God has to say, we want to see that at work in our lives in an excellent way. And as you think about each one of these virtues, if you could think of them as perfecting the next one in a greater way, that's how they work in harmony and in tune, not just with each other, but with the God of heaven, through the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. We want to demonstrate these graces in conjunction with each other. And then I've already made the next point, and that is that diligence is going to be required. Giving all diligence, verse 5 says. It's not a half-hearted approach. It's not a lukewarm approach. It is a full-speed ahead approach under the control of the Spirit of God, as we understand through the message that we have, the Jesus, the Christ, the God that we serve. We want to know everything that we can know, and we want to put that knowledge into practice as we perfect these graces in our lives. But it's hard, hard work. Giving all earnestness, great deal of zeal, sometimes with haste, right now. It's not something we need to put off. It's not something we need to say, "Well, I'm not good enough right now to be a follower of God. I'm going to get better." No, you won't. You get better in harmony with God, in harmony of the knowledge that you obtain and that you can use to perfect your life, to perfect these graces as they come to you. No one is going to take these graces, to take the knowledge that we need to have and develop those in the right way accidentally. It is hard work. And these passages in the next place tell us that there's some disastrous results for failure. Hard for us to think about these disastrous results. As we take a look at verse 9, if you lack these things, you've decided that you can't get a grip on them yet. You haven't put them into practice yet. You might not have even memorized them, which is not nearly as important as understanding them and practicing them. But when you do not do what God is asking us to do through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you wind up with spiritual myopia. You can't see what's out there. I know so many people that are only thinking about this moment in life. And most likely, you're miserable. If you're just thinking about this moment and how it's going to affect me and how it's going to make me happy and how I'm going to be entertained, if we start thinking, and I'm not talking about just this worship, I'm talking about when people go to work tomorrow, they're going to be thinking about the moment and how sad they are. Or if you're at home from work because you didn't have to go to school, you're thinking about how boring life is and how difficult this moment is. If you're in some difficult position in life, and there are several of you in this room who are, if you're only thinking about the moment, these graces have not been perfected in your life because you are blinded to those things that are out ahead. God has promised us great and precious promises, this text tells us, that he will never leave us, for example. He will never forsake us. That he will help us through every difficult circumstance. Will he take the difficult circumstances away? No. but he'll give us the power and the strength to get through them. And so what we forget when we don't develop these graces, we don't develop this knowledge of Christ, we are people who are short-sighted. Even so far sometimes as being totally blind to what is out in front of us, we'll forget and we'll stop looking and we won't be able to see. And this concept here has to do with lack of foresight, lack of discernment, narrow-mindedness, short-sightedness, great descriptions of these terms. It's disaster when we can't look out ahead and see the glory that God has in store for each one of us beyond the present circumstances that we are in. And then as we look at the last part of verse 9, we've forgotten that we were cleansed from our old sins. One of the sad things to me about life is to work with people who've grown up in the kingdom, even who have known the way of the Lord from the time they began to be able to think about what the way of the Lord is. And they began this short-sighted approach, this myopic approach. Can't see out there. All they can see is right here. And I like this. And they don't see what that is going to do to them. The proverb says, for example, that the adulteress is a person who looks at life and she will say, I have done nothing wrong, and just goes on her way. You see, a person who's thinking like that is not looking out there. They're looking right here at this moment, at today. She who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 7. That person is looking right now. They're only thinking about now. And many of those people that you and I know that are so short-sighted are people that have had plenty of knowledge. They can see all the way to the throne of God as far as the knowledge of Jesus is concerned. But when we fail to live the kind of lifestyle that the knowledge calls for, we are in trouble. But as we close tonight, here's the neatest thing about this study. Such delightful results if we succeed. Verse 10 tells us, very, very important, you can be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. I think another sad thing for me is to listen to Christians, people who've been members of the Lord's church for many, many times. You ask them, tonight, do you believe you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. And they live a life of fear. They're so afraid that they're going to think or say or do something immediately and God's going to flip them off into an everlasting punishment. And they live such a sad life. If you want your calling and election to be made sure, you know Jesus Christ. And you practice the kinds of things that are talked about in this particular passage. You're going to be great. You can make your calling and election sure. And verse 10 continues by telling us that you will never stumble. Does that mean we'll never make a mistake? No, it doesn't. But if you continue as you live life to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance and all through those graces, you keep adding them and you let the next one continue to perfect the next one, you're not going to stumble. Will you make mistakes? Sure you will. But God gives us the way to take care of those mistakes. We just need to keep trusting in Him, depending on Him, recognizing sin that is in our lives and turning to Him. And then verse 11 says, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that where you want to go? Isn't that what you want for yourself? Those of us that have families, isn't that what you want for your families? We want those delightful results, but it takes diligent effort. And it may be that somebody in this room has never started that effort. You've never put on Christ. You've never said, I am going to commit myself to the Lord, and I'm going to begin to add faith into my life by the knowledge of Jesus. And I'm going to continue as I develop my faith to add those other graces. And it has to begin with a birth into Christ, to being born of the water and of the Spirit, as John 3 and verse 3 and 5 teach us. It begins with being buried with Christ so that we can be raised to walk in newness of life, as Romans 6 and verse 4 teaches. Perhaps it might be that you have had that vision by the knowledge of God all the way to the throne room of God, as the Bible teaches it to us. But you've wandered away from God and you want to come back. Repent of your sins and pray that God will forgive you. We'll pray with you and for you. And we hope that your choice tonight is to leave this place having made your calling and election sure, giving yourself an abundant entrance into that eternal, everlasting kingdom of God because of Him and what He means and what He can do for you. If you need, please come as we stand and as we sing.